This is a CBC original podcast.
We were going to stop on the tarmac and have a quick whistle stop rally. So Regina, I've lived in Regina. Next to Alberta, Saskatchewan is a big heartland, homeland of the Reform Alliance, now the Stephen Harper conservative wing of that party. We get off the plane, there's probably 100 people.
Well, thank you everyone for being out here for that great...
And it's not the weather.
Welcome on this beautiful day.
The weather's beautiful. It's a warm, very warm, sunny fall day in Regina on a Sunday afternoon, and there's 100 people.
A Canada where the budget is balanced now and not on the backs of future generations.
And again, people are telling me, oh, it's because the volunteers are out knocking on doors. And I'm thinking, if there was a place where you didn't have to knock on every door because you have won these ridings for a decade, this would be it.
That is the country we have been building, our Canada, the most...
So we all come down the stairs, get ready. Harper's speech is very brief, and he's back on the plane.
Merci beaucoup. God bless all of you for being here. God bless Canada.
And that's when I knew this was so different from 2006 or really any of the other campaigns that I had covered with Stephen Harper, that something was just not connecting.
Absolutely unpredicted.
For nearly 10 years, he held power.
And now they're losing Stephen Harper as leader.
But let me start at the beginning. I'm Susan Lunn, and this is Backstory, the federal election 2015.
This didn't have to happen this badly for the Conservative Party. I can't recall a Prime Minister who seems less interested in the salesmanship part of politics than Stephen Harper.
Canadians want change. They want real change.
The man had to go. It's just, I've never been so annoyed in my life with the Prime Minister.
I'm a little worried, to say the least. Yeah, for me and my family, absolutely.
Bad news for our country. The Conservatives have the best platform, always have had. I would only vote Conservative. I would never vote anything else. Mr. Harper has been the biggest liability for the Conservative Party for many years now.
It's odd to look back 10 years, but, you know, Stephen Harper was the agent of change. Like, he was the one out there talking about cleaning up Ottawa, changing how things are done. And here was the Conservatives promising to do things differently. And, you know, and there was a real shift amongst the electorate. You could feel it out there on the road in that campaign, that Canadians were ready to give Stephen Harper and his party a chance. 2006 was quite something. I don't think I'll ever actually forget that election night of all the campaigns that I've covered. You know, there was a real sense that the Conservatives were actually going to win this time, that the mood had turned and that they were able to, you know, maybe pull a victory. It was, of course, in the end, a minority. But I can remember going into the room to do some early testing of the radio setup, and people were already starting to wander in. They wandered in very early. There was a bar set up. There were tables. There was places to mingle. It was the entire room in the TELUS Convention Center in Calgary. It was a huge room. The radio setup was in what I would describe as the nosebleed section, and I could hardly even see the podium on the stage. It was very small. We were so far away, and the room was so crowded. And so there were balloons, there was confetti.
Thank you. Merci beaucoup. Tonight, friends, our great country has voted for change.
And that was the moment, you know, where, like, the room was packed and everyone's cheering, and there's all this excitement and optimism. And remember the line from that night, you know, when Harper said to the crowd,
"The West has wanted in.
The West wants in. The West,
West is in. Canada will work for all of us."
And the crowd went crazy that night. That room was packed. The elevators were packed. The hallways were packed. And people were celebrating for quite some time. And so there's this mood that was in that room, that large room filled with all these people. It was just such a big night with so much sort of excitement and optimism and enthusiasm that really there was just nothing like it. The contrast to election night just this past October in 2015, it couldn't have been more stark. I walk into the room again to do the test of the lines for the radio special, and I walk into the room and it's so small that I actually think it's a holding room, that throughout this election campaign, they have often held us, the national press, in a holding room before we're released into the main room where the rally will be held or the news event that day will be held. So I actually think it's some room where they're, like, everyone's kind of setting up, but there's some other room where they're going to do the speech that night. And I'm told, oh, no, it is this room. And I said, but it's one quarter of the size that it was in 2006. And some of the conservatives tried to argue with me to actually say, oh, no, we've just moved some of the risers for television. And I think, no, because there's the podium. So the radio setup now is so close to the podium where Stephen Harper is going to stand, I could throw my pen and hit it. Like, I can actually count the number of chairs that have been set up. At one point, I counted 375, and somebody said to me, I think you're actually being too generous. I think it's more like 350. And I look up, and I'm talking with the photographer for CP, and he says, do you see any balloons up there, any confetti up there? And sure enough, there was nothing. There was no indication at all that there was any mood of celebration whatsoever. And it just struck me that they knew they were going to lose.
And Michael, we, as you know, have reporters with all the leaders tonight. Susan Lunn is up first. She is at Conservative leader Stephen Harper's headquarters in Calgary. Hi, Susan.
Hello, Susan. Yes, I'm here at the TELUS Centre in Calgary. Right now, the room is full with security and media, but I only see three people here looking for a place to sit.
Three people, Susan? I'm just making sure I heard you correctly.
Yes, I see three people who are wandering around looking for a place to sit. So we're all in the room, and we're sort of waiting, and anyone in the room who has a laptop is on the laptop looking at the election results, but they're not up on the big screen. The big screen is just the Canadian flag, and that's it. There's nothing you can see of where the election is at. No sign in the room to the crowd, of which there isn't even much of a crowd yet, that the Liberals have at least swept Atlantic Canada, and now polls have closed in Quebec and Ontario. At some point around that point when the Ontario polls closed, the screens came on. People started to sort of wander in a very subdued kind of way. So finally the room does sort of fill up, and, you know, there's the election call. We all know that it's, you know, first it's a Liberal government.
We are forecasting at this moment now a Liberal government based on...
And then it's a Liberal majority government.
We can now give you a decision on a Liberal majority government. That is a Liberal majority government.
The room is silent, is just absolutely silent. So when it comes time for Harper's speech, we find out, we see the news release ahead of time that he has sent, that the party has sent out, that he will be stepping down as leader of the party. So we're all expecting a concession speech of him to come out and say this to the crowd.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks for that. Tremendous welcome.
So he comes out, and I can actually not only see the podium and see everything, I can see his teleprompter. So I see the teleprompter go by, and we're all waiting for him to actually tell the crowd he will step down as leader. And I see the words run out and the teleprompter go black.
Thank you again, friends, all of you, for all your support, for all you have done for our country. Merci beaucoup. Please say a little prayer for our men and women in uniform. God bless all of you.
And he didn't say it. And so we're all kind of looking at each other with these confused expressions, all of the media up on the risers, and then he's gone. And everyone's kind of left scratching their head. But it was one of those moments where you're like, why didn't he say it? And that still is, I think, one of the questions a lot of people have, is why not in your home crowd, in front of the people, as you say, who have elected you seven times, why not actually say out loud that you are stepping down as leader?
I am who I am. Canadians know me. I'm not perfect, but I'm dedicated to my country. I love my country. I think I've done as good a job as I can do, and I lead a great team of people.
Covering Harper in 2006, I had two sit-down interviews with Stephen Harper, if you can believe it, during that election campaign. I was very hopeful about how things would go in terms of relations with the media going forward after the election, because we had had so much access. We had access to him every day. I don't remember there being limits on questions. And, you know, at the beginning, there was only two buses in his bus of people covering him. And by the end, there were so many media covering Stephen Harper. There were, like, they had to throw a third media bus on. So there was four buses in the convoy because there was just so much kind of excitement in 06. And then in 2015, there was four questions a day. And if there were eight media, well, you only got a question every other day. And often his responses were very short, very curt.
Why not take a couple of questions from you?
Canadians have questions, Prime Minister.
Since the new government has come in, there was a cabinet meeting. I was in the foyer. There were cabinet ministers everywhere. There were scrums happening. They brought them to the microphones. I'm not saying they scrummed forever, and many of them didn't say very much, but the opportunity and the access was definitely there. I've also just noticed that on this Prime Minister's trip, there have been briefings, and the Prime Minister scrummed on the plane.
So first of all, excellent first experience at my first summit.
And I can't remember the last time a Prime Minister scrummed on the plane. It probably was early in Stephen Harper's mandate when that happened. So there's signs already that things are changing. And already, Justin Trudeau, the new Prime Minister, has held two press conferences in the National Press Theatre. I take that as a good sign. But we'll see. It's early days, but we'll see where it all goes. People will often ask me, what is Stephen Harper like when you meet him? And I find him, during those interviews, very thoughtful. He listens to your questions. He gives thoughtful, full responses. And I describe him as somebody who is very funny, has a very dry sense of humor. I remember one time we were doing an interview just after on the sidelines of it was either G20 or G8. And we were in this room and like the lights kind of went off and then they came back on and he said, oh, it's just radio. We can do it in the dark. You know, he's very funny and at times has been very warm as well. There was the time when in 2008 when our CBC colleague Melissa Fung was kidnapped in Afghanistan. He was very kind to me at that time, very warm, an understanding of just how upsetting that whole situation could be, and pulled me aside and assured me that he was doing everything he could and really seemed to be genuinely very upset by what had happened. And so, he is someone who is very warm and funny, but generally the public didn't see that. Now, maybe it's the nature of our political system. You can't really show that side of you in question period. But I can remember when Jim Flaherty died and he spoke at that funeral.
It is a fact that Jim was also genuinely liked and respected by his opponents, liked by his enemies. That's something in this business, something I envy. I can't even get my friends to like me.
I was talking with my mother, and she said, his speech was great. He was so warm. And she said, now I see what you talk about at times when you describe what he's like when you meet him in person. That's the person I saw today speaking at Jim Flaherty's funeral. And so there were moments, as I say, though, just they were infrequent.
We gave everything we have to give, and we have no regrets whatsoever. Friends, how could we? We remain citizens of the best country on earth.
Backstory is recorded and produced by Cecil Fernandez, with help this week from Michelle Cho and Peter Leo. I'm Susan Lunn.
For more CBC Original Podcasts, go to cbc.ca/originalpodcasts.